Well, hello, everybody. This is Kathy Caprino, and welcome to our last live call of the Career Success Training Program. This is call number 12, and I am so excited about this topic. We are talking about why you are not charging more for your work and how to change that. I'm passionate about this. You know, if you followed my Forbes blog and my work on KathyCaprino.com, you see that I write about this a lot. I think that many people who have their own businesses or are coaches or consultants or private practitioners or solopreneurs, and also people working for others in the corporate world or in small businesses, many, many people are struggling with how to earn what they deserve, how to ask for what they deserve, how to even evaluate what they should be earning vis-a-vis the competition. So I'm going to present everything I've learned in my 18-year corporate career and also in my own business. And I've learned a lot of this the hard way. I've got to share this with you. There's a lot of advice out there, and a lot of it is bad. And a lot of it is vague. It's not specific enough. It's not tailored enough to our particular situations to be very helpful. So my goal here is to change that for you and give you 45 minutes of really, you know, power-packed strategies, solutions, and tips about how you can identify what you should be earning and go out and get it. So do take, I hope you have a pen and pencil in front of you, take notes. As you know, with each of these classes, I'm really wanting it to be a breakthrough for you. And for that to happen, I'm needing you to really focus on what's being said here. And I'm going to open the call. You can ask your questions, and I hope you will. Don't be shy about that. But you really have to think about, you know, what's working for you and what is not working for you. You've got to, one of the biggest tips is you've got to be eyes wide open now. No more denial. No more wishful thinking. We've really got to look at what's happening, and we have to change it for the better. So all of you are on mute, of course, but I will open the call with 15 minutes to spare, and I will absolutely be thrilled to take your questions. You could submit them online, or right now you're muted, so you would press 7 to talk. Okay, but we'll get to that in a minute. And I want to share that all of you should have received an email from us, from my team, inviting you to the closed group, the private group for the Career Success Training Program. This is for anybody who has signed up for this program. And I also want you to know that after this live call, we are bundling the program as a set, and we're going to make that available widely. So I'm hoping to make that private group very robust, have it be a place for you to ask your questions, get help, get mentoring. So I hope you will check it out and join me there. All right, let's just jump right in. I'm going to the slides, and, of course, you have access to those on the website. We'll pop those up when the call is done. So why you're not charging more for your work. What we're going to talk about today are the following. The top four excuses I've seen that people make for not charging what they deserve, and they are excuses. You know, I'm going to be very straight talking with you here. If you want change, you have to do something different from what you're doing. So we're going to look at those excuses. We're going to look at the key causes of undervaluing your work. There are reasons why we do it. It's not just some random thing. And there are, you know, common traits of people who do it. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at how do you determine and measure the key deliverables you offer. Because if you don't know, we're going to talk about branding. We're going to talk about how you go about explaining what you do in a compelling way. And you have to know what are the key deliverables that you offer. We're going to look at how you can understand the other drivers to people buying your services besides pricing. It's not all about pricing. There's a lot of other stuff you have to do to attract people who want to pay you for what you know and what you do. And then we're going right to the heart of it, 7 steps to earning more. How do you get clear about your financials and building a strong brand that supports your work? All of these things are essential. They're not nice-to-haves. They're essential. Okay, so I do want to start off by giving a little backdrop, and this is about what happy professionals, successful, happy, fulfilled professionals have and do that others don't. And there are six things I've identified, and I just want to share them with you. Why? Because I want you to think about how you're operating in the world as a professional. And again, this is for people that run their own practices or coaching businesses or consulting firms, or and also people that are working for others. Think about how you operate in the world. So happy, successful professionals I've found have six things going for them. First, they really understand how talented and amazing they are. They know what they're capable of. That doesn't mean they're narcissists, and it doesn't mean they're blind. They know what they don't have. They know the skill areas they have to focus on and build. They know their gaps, and they're working on them. But they really understand that they're special and talented, because everybody on the planet is. So right now, if you're not quite aware of how you're special and talented and amazing and gifted, that's an area you've got to focus on. The second thing they have going for them is they're not afraid of risk, failure, or losing what they've created. I mean, a lot of us stay incredibly stuck because we think if we do something different, we're going to lose. We're going to lose the clients we have. We're going to lose the money we've made. We're just afraid of risk and failure. Well, you can't be, especially in your own venture. It's all about the risk. You cannot stay safe and continue to do what you've always done if you want change. You know what Einstein said. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. So we've got to embrace risk and the chance that you might fail at something. The third thing happy professionals and successful professionals have is an empowered relationship with money. I'm going to talk a whole slide dedicated to this. You can't be successful financially if you're broken down around money, if you've got traumas and mindsets that are limiting, if you've got beliefs that hold you back. And the challenge here is most of these beliefs are subconscious, so you're not even aware of them. But you can. There are exercises and resources I'm going to give you that help make the subconscious conscious. And I always say greater awareness equals greater choice. We've got to be aware of what's holding us back so that we can choose differently. The fourth thing that successful professionals have is they believe in what's possible, not what is. I mean, man, this is an important concept. You might be looking at your checkbook right now and see zero, or you might be in debt. You know, debt, and we're going to talk about that. Debt trauma is very, and I've had it all. I want to tell you, I have gone through a lot of bumps financially, and, you know, finally I'm seeing myself on the other side of that. But you've got to believe in what's possible, not what's directly in front of you, because what's in front of you is what you have created. It doesn't mean you're going to continue to create it. That's what, it's a culmination of everything you've thought and done to that minute. But if you can shift yourself, and we're going to talk about your upper limit problem, shift that, shift your upper limit, get over your financial traumas, you can make changes that will bring a whole different scenario around your finances. So you got to believe in what's possible, not what's staring you in the face. Successful professionals also have a core belief, I have what it takes to do what I want. You know, I've read that there's, and I love the concept, above-the-line thinking and below-the-line thinking. Above-the-line thinking, well, let's start with below. Below is, ugh, there's too many challenges. You know, the economy's terrible. My husband's this. My boss is this. My industry is dried up. It's all about what's outside your control. And it's all about blame. That's below the line. Above the line thinking is, I see what the challenges are, I get it, but I'm capable of mastering my own shit. I am addressing the challenges head on. I'm walking right through them and I'm doing what's necessary. I'm the master of my own destiny. And number six, what happy professionals have or do, they don't overly attach to specific outcomes. You know, every one of these things I've struggled with. Let me give you an example. Excuse me. You know, as a coach and a career consultant and now a writer, speaker, and trainer, I would attach to specific things like I am a coach and it's got to look like this and I have to have this many clients and this is how it's got to be. And, you know, what would happen is months would go by and that outcome wouldn't happen and I would just hit my head against the wall. Gosh, I don't have enough private clients. And I would read great advice that, for instance, and let me tell you this, coaches, you know, the one-on-one model is pretty much not sustainable financially. It's just not sustainable because you have to reach thousands and thousands of people to fill a coaching pipeline. You know, I was speaking to a Tony Robbins coach a while ago, and he said of all the people that reach out to Tony Robbins, 60% are not even coachable. Of that 40%, you know, a huge portion, 40%, 50% are not ready. Within that remaining portion, they don't have the money and won't invest in themselves, so it's a very, very tiny portion. So you need to be reaching thousands of people to fill that pipeline in many different ways, right? But I would just attach to that outcome. I needed this number of clients. And finally, I got hip that there are other ways to make money as a coach and a career consultant, many other ways. There's speaking, there's teleclasses like I'm doing, webinars, group coaching, programs that people download. You know, there's a lot of ways to make money. Don't overly attach to one specific outcome. Be open, be flexible. All right, so what are these top four excuses for not charging enough? Here's what I've heard over and over, and you know, I've worked with over 10,000 professionals in 10 years, so I feel like I've heard it all, as well as getting hundreds of comments on my blog posts, you know, and a lot of them are excuses, you know. Yes, I hear what you're saying, Kathy, but. So here's the excuse. Number one, I'm having so much trouble having people hire me as is. It would never work at a higher price. Excuse me. So, you know, I'm just going to touch on these briefly. That's not the right way to look at it. The reason, and, you know, I have a number of friends who are in this boat in all sorts of fields, financial consultants, architects, graphic designers, you know, you name it, landscape designers, coaches. So the thing is, if you're having trouble having people hire you, it's not usually about price. It's about the value, what you offer and how you communicate what you offer. And we're going to talk about how you can do that better. But if you're at a very low level and you're having a hard time, low level in pricing, and you're having a hard time having people hire you, yeah, if you doubled your fee, you'd lose everybody because you're in the wrong circle. That circle that you have attracted are low-paying people. So, of course, it seems to you if I doubled my prices or raised them 40%, everyone would go away. They would in that circle that you're in, but you're not in the right circle. Probably. All right, number two, I'm not really sure what my work is worth and what it could command. Okay, that's a problem. You've got to know that intimately. And the way you do that is an exhaustive competitive research. You've got to know who are your top 30 competitors. And the thing is, for most of us, like me, I'll give myself my work as an example, because I coach on the phone, I am competing with every coach in the world. You know, I have lots of clients in about every country you can imagine, Dubai, China, England, Brazil, Ireland. It just goes on and on and on. France, yeah. So when you are competing at that level, you know, I'm competing with every single person who offers career breakthrough coaching around the world. So you got to know what your work is worth, what other people are charging, and why you should charge what you're charging. You've got to have a really good reason for that. It can't just be some made-up number. All right, the third of the fourth excuses are, I'm scared to raise my prices. Where will I find customers who pay that? Well, you've got to figure that out. You've got to look at the demographic of the people that you want to serve. I mean, a lot of people tell me, whether they're therapists or coaches, you know, I can't tell you how many times I hear this, you know, people tell me they don't have money to pay. Yeah, most people don't have a lot of money to pay you, but there's a bubble of people, a group, a niche that do. You've got to find that group and speak to that group and tap into that group. You've got to do it, and you've got to figure out where they live and breathe and go after that. And number four, the fourth biggest excuse, times are bad, and I really don't want to contribute to people's challenges by making it hard for them to pay me. You know, that we're going to talk about, that's a boundary problem. You've got to know what you're worth, and a lot of women, especially in the helping professions, feel very guilty about their fees. Let's say they're making $250. You know, for me, I'm about $450 or $500 an hour. When people buy more sessions, 10 sessions is the program that most people go for. It goes down to $350 a session. You can't be ashamed. You can't be guilty. You can't feel like, oof, you know, this isn't fair to them, because it will never work. You'll never make the money you need. You've got to think about what outcomes you deliver that change better people's lives, better people's businesses. And you've got to understand what that work is worth and not feel ashamed and guilty about it. Because if you do, you're really never going to make the money you need and deserve. All right. Why you're stuck and confused. So, you know, this pertains to money, but it's also in your career, in your business, in your solopreneurship. Why are you stuck? Why are you confused? There are key reasons. I'm going to touch on them really quickly. First, there's a fear of failure. We talked about that. You know, the most successful people risk. They are able to see something that they want and go for it. And they're not devastated when it doesn't work out. Sure, they're disappointed. Sure, it's not what they had in mind. But they learn from it and they pick themselves up. You can't be scared. A lot of people have fear of success, of living larger. A client just yesterday who's so stuck at going for a very big dream, just incredibly stuck and constantly rethinking it and constantly changing her mind. You know, every session we have, we take 4 steps back. She's really afraid of what's going to happen if she has this dream. It's going to change things. It's going to change where she lives. It's going to change her marriage. The fear of living larger. You've got to look at that, and you've got to embrace it if you want change, right? Fear of risk and the unknown. A lot of people are miserable where they are, but what is that expression? You know, the devil I know is better than the devil I don't. Well, it isn't. You've got to risk and try. Try the unknown. You know, you can always go back to what you're doing, but you have to step out of your comfort zone. Another reason you're stuck is naysayers are telling you, oh, you're never going to be successful. It's never going to work. You're never going to make money doing that. There's a lot of naysayers in the world, and a lot of them are in our families because they, you know, they're not trying to hurt you. They just are afraid for you. But the naysayers, and I'm differentiating here, there's a lot of experts, like for me, telling you what I feel I've experienced. I differentiate expert advice that sounds right, that feels right, versus naysayers who just want to put you down and keep you small because they're afraid. Not remembering how to act boldly. A lot of us have been so stuck. That was me in the corporate world. I forgot what it was like to do a bold thing. You know, it brings a certain physiological experience when you stretch out of your comfort zone and act boldly. You got to remember how to do it and do it. You know, the next one is being intimidated by what others are doing. I've had coaches say to me, you know, some right here in my town, you know, I see what you're doing and I don't really want to do what you're doing. Like, you write so much and I'm kind of intimidated. Do I have to do that? No. You know, don't be intimidated by what others are doing. There isn't one way to be successful. If doing a lot of writing to build your business isn't something you want, you got to find another way to reach a lot of people and reach an audience, but don't be intimidated by what others are doing. On the other hand, find role models, people who are doing it the way you want to do it and are 10 steps ahead. If you have no role models or no mentors or no sponsors are mentors who are a higher level than you, that have more influence, more clout, can open doors for you. You know, I have to say, sponsors are one of the most influential things that have happened to my business. People at much higher levels that can, with one email introduction, open a whole world to you. You need those people in your corner. And we're going to talk about how to get that. Subconscious sabotage. Again, beliefs and mindsets that keep you stuck. Hang on, we're going to have a whole slide on that. And then finally, being unclear. A lot of people say, gosh, I know what I don't want. You know, I don't want to be broke doing this coaching work or whatever it is. But they don't know what they do want. They're unclear. And that lack of clarity means their decision-making isn't what it needs to be because they're not sure really what they want. You've got to get very, very clear. And if you're not clear, again, I have a lot of resources. I've got my free career path assessment. You can find that at Kathy Caprino/free-assessment. And I have a brand new, I'm so excited about it, Career Success Readiness Quiz. It's 30 questions, and you can do it in 10 minutes, and it tests your true readiness for having more success in your career. And that's at kathycaprino.com/career quiz. So check that out. 10 minutes, and you'll get a report and your quiz score, and you're going to understand, are you there yet, and are you doing what's necessary? All right. So what are the underlying causes of not earning enough? Well, I think the very first thing is a lack of understanding of the key outcomes you deliver. And again, this is for if you're working in a corporate environment, but also if you're working on your own, in your own business, your own practice. What do you give your clients, your customers, that no one else does, that no one else can? And, you know, I ask this question of every client, and so many don't know. I mean, they tell me very vague things. I have a client, for instance, who's in event marketing, and he talks about his transparency and his authenticity. No one's hiring you for that when they're hiring you for event planning. We've talked about this with him. You know, it's what you have to do is compare yourself to the best. How do you stand apart from the best of the best competition? So, you know, I've had financial consultants say, well, here's what I do. I really listen incredibly well to my clients, and I help them understand what their financial dreams are and build a plan for that. Really? I mean, that's what every great financial consultant, that's what the best of the best do. That's not good enough. What do you do differently? You know, I have one friend who was a CEO of some major corporations and now is on her own as a financial consultant. Well, that's something she does differently. She ran, she was the chief financial officer of a multi-million dollar organization. That's something that other financial consultants are. What do you do differently? What history do you bring? What talents? What other jobs? What other skills? What new perspective do you bring that no one else can? So I want to give you an example. When someone says to me, why you? Why should I hire you? I fire off my key reasons. One, I had an 18-year corporate career. I rose to a vice president, managed $30 million budgets. I know what high-level corporate challenge is, and also faced a lot of bumps there, too. Number two, I'm a trained therapist and energy healer and coach. I see things at a deeper level than what a lot of coaches do, and I think that's really one key reason I'm very effective for women. Number three, I've studied intensively women's career challenges and how to overcome them in the past 10 years. I did a year-long research study. I wrote a book, Breakdown Breakthrough, right? And number four, I have my own business, going from not making enough money to making really good money. And so those are the reasons. And those perspectives, that training in therapy, that training in energy healing, having, you know, writing for Forbes and interviewing Tony Robbins and movers and shakers and Pulitzer Prize winners and you know, multimillionaires, that gives me a window into success. So we need your list. What do you do that no one else can do? I want you to think about that and come up with a list. Okay? I want you to look at your top 30 competitors. I want you to look at their websites, their pricing. Look on LinkedIn for corporate professionals. Look at LinkedIn. How are people describing what they do that is similar to what you do? What's the language? How do they lay it out? What's their expertise? What's their skill set? What's their summary look like? What's their tagline? Get really comfortable about who you're competing with. And, you know, the final underlying cause of not earning enough is you're not marketing and promoting your competitive advantages effectively, and you're not reaching enough people. So we're going to talk about how we deal with that. Another huge underlying cause is a failure to realize that prices that are too low also attract problem clients and customers. So, you know, if you think if you want to earn more but you're charging the lowest because you think that's all you can get, what you don't understand is it's problematic on like 10 different levels. First of all, your prices really reflect your value. So, you know, if you're a coach and you charge $25 an hour, you know, immediately people think you don't have what it takes. Why are you charging so low when the best are charging more than $500 an hour? Your prices reflect your value, your expertise, your know-how, and your status, you know? So what message do you think a very, very bottom line price gives to prospective customers. You know, I follow a lot of people, and one of the people I follow is Derek Halpern, and he has videos around all this stuff. And one time he had a video on why you should never offer a discount to your work, because discounting undercuts it. Instead, keep the price the same and offer an added value. And I've listened to that, and, you know, I don't 100% agree, and, in fact, I'm going to offer you a discount at the end of this call. But the idea is, if you keep undercutting the value of what you do, that's the message that gets across, that it's not worth anything. Finally, people who underpay you also undervalue you. They undervalue your time. They make you crazy in the process of working with them. Like, I find people that who don't want to pay also don't want to honor your time. You know, if the session's 45 minutes, they want to keep pushing. In therapy, I learned, you know, there's something called the borderline personality disorder, and these folks have no boundaries. They have no sense of boundaries whatsoever. Well, often people that just won't pay you what you deserve, they just infringe on your boundaries. They violate them. So it's really a bad, a lose-lose, really, if you are undercutting your prices and really not earning what you know your work deserves. Another underlying cause is mistaking pricing as the most important driver. There's so much more going on than pricing. There's how you market and promote yourself. There's word of mouth, you know. What are other people saying about your work? There are ambassadors for your work. It shouldn't be all about you talking about how great you are. You need to build a massive support network of people that say, you know, I don't do it, I don't help with careers, but Kathy Caprino does in Wilton, Connecticut. She's great. You need people who are sharing the word. If you don't have anybody, you know, there one way to look at them is affiliate and referral partners. Whatever business you're in, let's say it's interior design, go meet with 50 real estate agents and talk to them about maybe you could come in and stage houses that these agents are selling. And if you get work, you're going to give them a cut, 10%, whatever. Think about affiliate and referral partners, people who will happily spread the word about you, but you're also compensating them as kind of a referral commission. There's social media engagement. If you're not online, that's going to hurt you very badly, because people that you're competing with are online. They're engaging on Twitter. They are posting articles on LinkedIn. Right, they're on Facebook doing wonderful Facebook marketing efforts. You really do have to think about social media and not just promoting your stuff, engaging with people there. I mean, I have just loved. When I look at Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, I focus most heavily on LinkedIn first. Then I went to Twitter, and now I'm kind of beefing up my Facebook marketing for my Elliott Communications Facebook page. But I have learned so much and met so many amazing people through LinkedIn and Twitter mostly. It's just been incredible. People who open doors for you, people who inspire you, people who teach you and share with you teachings and resources. It's just an amazing thing. All right, another driver is your style, how you go about delivering your work and your voice. And when I talk about voice, I mean your thought leadership, what you're putting out in the world, your blog posts, your videos, your writing, even the aesthetics of your website, your style, who you are. I mean, that's going to turn off a lot of people, but if you're doing it right, it's going to engage and attract the exact people that you want to serve. Right? Another driver to pricing, or another driver to making the money you need, is what are you teaching? What is the value that you're contributing? Right? It's not all about, here's my service. You know, I help women who, whatever it is, who've been out of the workforce get back in. It's your teaching, what you give generously. It's your free stuff. It's your thought leadership. All right? And also, it's your networking. How big is your network? Is it just a few people? Is it a handful? Is it 20? That's not enough. You need a large support network. How do you build that? We'll talk about that in a minute, but reach out to 20 people from your past that you love. Take them for coffee. Tell them what you're doing. Endorse them on LinkedIn. Find new people that inspire you on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Facebook. Follow them. Comment on their stuff. Retweet their stuff. you know, be generous. Just start reaching out. All right. So how do we gain more confidence so that we can start charging more? There are six quick ways. You measure your outcomes. So, you know, in talking even to this event marketer yesterday, I said, what are the outcomes you deliver? And he mentioned that, well, you know, unlike things that can be tracked perfectly, like on Facebook, you can track engagement, you can track clicks, you know, it's really hard. Nope, that's not good enough. You've got to measure the outcomes. Like me, if I'm a coach, what are the outcomes I help people get? And I track this, you know. I have charts and graphs and data on this. And what is my success rate? You know, mine is 99%, and truly that 1% that doesn't succeed is usually not a good fit for coaching. It's usually therapeutic work they need because they're very stuck and very afraid. But, you know, the outcomes, for instance, for me are helping people change jobs, helping people move and create a completely different lifestyle and life for themselves and their families, right? Leave corporate and start their own business and have success. Achieve more leadership. You get the idea. You have to know what those outcomes are and measure them, right? Another way to gain more confidence is ask for testimonials and endorsements. That's hard. It's hard for women in particular. And, you know, when I generalize about women, it's based on research. I don't paint every woman with the same brush. We're all different. But I've found over and over women have a hard time asking for help and asking for endorsements. But you have to. So one way to do it is get on LinkedIn and endorse 20 people. And there's on LinkedIn two ways. One, you can just click on a skill that they've already listed, and that's an endorsement. Or you can write a recommendation. That's more powerful, of course. So write them. And, of course, we're not doing this just to get something back. We're doing it to be giving and supportive. But you will engage people, and they, if they love you, they'll write some testimonials. Another way to gain more confidence is get out of your fear of change and embrace critique. Find five people who are your mentors and people you trust, people who know what they're doing, and say, what can I be doing better? Could you look at my website? Could you look at my downloadable free tool? Could you look at my blog post? A lot of people do that. You know, they haven't written before. They find some help. You know, would you mind? I had a woman do that yesterday. She just posted on LinkedIn for the first time. And she asked, you know, could you look at it? And I had, you know, some suggestions. Embrace critique from sources you trust. Number four, the fourth way to gain more confidence is closing what I call your power gaps. So what I want you to look at is, what is the thing that makes you feel most ashamed or most vulnerable or most less than in your work? We all have them. I had a woman who, you know, had risen to the top of her career, but she never got a four-year degree. And her friend said to her, oh, so what? You don't need it. But it was torturing her. So I said, then you got to go get it. You know, it's not what your friends say, it's what you say. What do you feel? She said it felt like a dirty secret. If you have anything that feels like a dirty secret, you know, for instance, if you're in debt up to your eyeballs, but you're coaching people around money, which is really often the case. There's a lot of financial advisors who are not following advice and they're really struggling financially. Well, that's going to affect everything. It's going to affect your confidence. It's going to affect what you charge. It's going to affect how good you are at your work. You've got to close those power gaps. Do something concrete to heal or revise the situations that are making you feel less than. I talked about an upper limit problem. There's a wonderful book, Gay Hendricks, The Big Leap, and he talks, get it, it's a great book. He talks all about that most of us have what is called an upper limit problem, and it's formed in our childhood around what we learned, what we were taught, around money, love, health, you know, and how much we deserve. So a lot of us will have this upper limit. Let's say it's $75,000. I feel I deserve that. And when we go over it, we get uncomfortable. We don't feel we deserve it. We feel like an imposter, and we sabotage. I mean, I have lived this. And you have to, if you want more, you have to know what your upper limit problem is, address it, and push it up concretely, you know, consciously. What are you really worth? And why do you sabotage? And a lot of people do it around love, too. Just when a relationship is going well, they sabotage it because it's too uncomfortable to have that much love or that much greatness. So check out that book and look at what your upper limit is. And gaining more confidence truly is about getting in the cage with your fears. You cannot, I had a woman on my Amazing Career Project video program say, I don't want to get in a cage with them. Can I just kind of scooch up to them? And we all laughed. I don't think so. I don't think scooching up to the fear does it. I think you got to get in the cage with it and close the door and look at it. That's how you move forward exponentially, truly. It's what you resist. Like scooching up is resisting getting in there, looking that fear in the face. Okay, fear, here we go, and doing something about it. Okay, so another thing we have to do to earn more money is get more clear about your financials. I cannot tell you how many people, and again, this is a lot of women, are vague about their numbers. Vague. You got to get clear. So when you're running your own business or your own venture, you're thinking of launching a business, even your own finances, if you're working for someone else, do this yourself. Don't leave it to someone else. Sure, you can have a finance manager, but get incredibly, intimately comfortable with your numbers. What is going in? What is coming out? I will ask people, what do you have to earn? And they don't know. You've got to know what you have to earn to pay your bills, to live the way you want, to have the lifestyle you want. Now, sometimes that might mean I'm in a big house in Fairfield County, Connecticut, and I want to downsize. Awesome. But you got to know, how much money do I need right now? And what am I going to do about that? You've got to identify all the financial drivers of your business. The cost of business, like in my coaching. Am I going to have an office where there's overhead? You know, am I going to hire people? What about my virtual assistant? What is the help I need? What are the drivers? And what is the cost of doing business, right? What are your key business measures and metrics? You know, how are you going to measure? You know, is it number of clients? Is it number of customers? Is it number of downloads? What is it? What is the foundation of how you make money in your work? All right? Again, what do you need to earn and how far away from you is that? And then you definitely need specific strategies to fill your client pipeline if you have that kind of business. You can't just say, you know, there's another great book, The Pumpkin Plan by Mike Michalowicz, The Pumpkin Plan. He helps entrepreneurs, and he says in this book he knows it's a kiss of death when the client says, all I need is that one client, one more. One more and everything's going to be great. One more, you know, their clients are $50,000 or $100,000, big business clients or whatever. Whenever you hear that, only one more client and I'll be fine, you know they're not where they need to be. Your success can't hinge on one client because that one client may not come. You've got to know what to do to get out of the, oh, it'll be fine when I just have that one client or that one tipping point. All right. So how do you determine and measure your key deliverables? You've got to know, we talked about this, what do you deliver? What are the outcomes? What are the experiences? How do you measure this? So you have to develop for your marketing material and for how you talk about yourself examples of the outcomes you can guarantee. Like, you know, I can guarantee, for instance, if you take my Amazing Career Project video program, you're going to go from I don't know what I want to I know what I want and I know how to get it. That's where you're going to go. I can pretty much guarantee that. I mean, I don't say guarantee because everyone is different, and if they don't apply themselves, you know, it's all based on the work they do, the inner and outer work. You know, I can't do it for them. But the vast majority of people go from I don't know what I want to I know what I want and I know how to get it with concrete steps. You know, what are the outcomes you can guarantee? A beautiful new website. You know, a new landscaping. If you're, you know, a financial consultant, we're going to look at your numbers. We're going to help you build, understand your vision for the future and build financial goals and steps to get there. What do you deliver? And what can you promise that you'll achieve? And what's your success rate? If you don't know any of these things, you've got to start watching the process of your work. You know, there's another great book. And, I believe that all of these, yes, they're on the last page of the slides, the resources that I'm sharing with you. There's a book called The E-Myth Revisited, E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, and he talks about why so many small businesses fail. And the premise of the book is this. There's a fatal assumption that these failing small businesses, business owners make, that knowing how to do the skill that you're offering in the business is the same as running a successful business. They're very, very, very different. So I can be a great coach, but that doesn't mean I run a successful business. They're two separate things. So I'm asking you to, when you're doing your work, let's say you're a graphic designer or you're a website designer, I want you also not to just do the work, but step outside and be the visionary, be the leader, be the entrepreneur, not just the doer, but the manager who manages it and is the visionary. Okay? So you've got to look at the process of your work. How do you do it? I remember when I first was starting to write my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, I had to look at how I was doing therapy and how I do coaching, because I do it differently from anyone else, and other people do it differently from everyone else, partly in the things I attune to, what I listen, what I attend to. So you might say 100 things, and I'm going to pick up 2 and run with those. Another coach is going to run with another 2 things. Start looking at how you do it. Look at the process of how you do it, and also start analyzing it. What is your success rate, and what do you guarantee that you will deliver? So here it is, the 7 steps to earning more. You need to do an exhaustive competitive analysis. Get online, Google, you know, whatever you do, Google the competitors for that. And look at their websites, look at what they offer, look at what they charge, where are they, where are they getting business, where are they speaking. And, you know, even do a spreadsheet and look at the key categories and then compare yourself to those. How many programs do they have? How many passive income programs do they have? How many speaking engagements, or where are they finding their clients? Understand what you're up against. 2 is identify the process of how you work and what you bring to the table. We just talked about that. 3, you've got to start marketing and promoting your business in ways that will expand your influence. I'm going to get to that in a sec. Overcome your personal blocks. There's a slide on that in a minute. Develop stronger boundaries. This is absolutely 100% essential. You've got to know when to say no. You've got to know when to walk away. You've got to know when critique is right, and you've got to know when it's not right. You don't have to catch every ball that's thrown at you. You know, one thing, now that I'm a writer, and sometimes things go viral, 6 million views, 2 million views, and wow, I'll get a lot of comments, and a lot of them are not pretty, let me tell you. They'll lambaste me. Wow, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, first of all, excuse me, you got to know what you're talking about, and you got to be firm in that, and you also have to have boundaries. The more you spread your wings in the world, the more you're going to bump things. And those bumps, you know, can be hard. People can say, that's terrible, you don't know what you're talking about. They can critique a program that you delivered. You got to get tough. You got to get a thicker skin. It doesn't mean you disregard all the constructive critique. You need that. You have to have that, and you have to ask for that. But you don't catch every ball that's thrown at you, right? And the 7th thing to charging more is to start doing it. So think about your prices. Think about, and there's ways you can price your programs and your services. It's not all one-on-one or hourly. You can bunch it together. You can offer, you know, 4 sessions or 4 hours, or you can chunk it down. You know, for let's say you're a website designer. And that's another thing. You don't want to give away all your free time, all your time in doing proposals. I just posted on LinkedIn top 10 selling principles that most salespeople get wrong. Check that out if you're in sales and development, because a lot of people are wasting a lot of time chasing after clients that will never pull the trigger, and you don't want to do that. But think about, start charging more today. Just do it. 10% more, 20% more. Now, if you have clients and customers, you don't, you know, throw that on them right away. You have to transition customers to a new level. You can say, starting September 1st, my fees have gone up to blip. Start it. Just start it. Then take 6 months or so or 4 months to actually do this thorough competitive evaluation and understand what the right number really is. But I can't tell you how many people I hear, my friends, my colleagues, that it's incredibly saddening what they're charging. It's so below the market rate. It's so below what they should be earning, and they just are too scared to do it. So start. All right, we talked about, and I want to touch on this, what is marketing? A lot of people go, ugh, it's so sleazy, it's manipulative, it's slimy, it's untrustworthy, it's bait and switch. No, it isn't. I talk about prosperity marketing, the way to do it to generate prosperity for everyone involved. Prosperity marketing is bringing yourself to market. It's, you know, you might be the best whatever in the world, floral designer, whatever it is, accountant, any kind of consultant you can think of. You might be amazing, but if nobody knows of you, you're not going to get paid. You're not going to get hired. You've got to bring yourself out. You've got to meet people. You've got to talk about what you're doing. You've got to attract ideal clients, customers, and communities. That's what marketing is. It's not just some sleazy thing where you're pushing out your work. You're attracting people that you love to serve, right? You're sharing your amazing talents and gifts and contributions in service of others. You know, I was just talking to the event marketer yesterday, and, you know, we were talking about for him, he needs to pick up the phone and make some phone calls, cold calling or calling past clients, and it's hard. And he said it was because he feels like a loser. And I said, you know, I really understand that. You know, I get that. But could you reframe that? Could it be you're not a loser calling to check in if the person needs help? You're actually trying to be of service. That's what you're doing. You're trying to reach out to people to see if you can be of service to them. Okay? So it should be authentic, integrity-filled, and value-laden. That's what great marketing is. I have a whole prosperity marketing coaching program if you're interested, and it has five pillars. Get clear. You got to be clear. What do you offer? How are you different? How are you great? And you got to talk about it. Get writing. You know, a lot of people today, how they get their name out in the world is they write. They start a blog. They guest post. They write an article and publish it on an online forum. Get writing. Get speaking. You know, if there's anything you can train. Let's say you're a florist. And, you know, I have a friend who's a glitter fairy. She makes incredible high-end, beautiful ornaments and designs with glitter. She holds programs. She teaches classes. You know, it gets you out there. It gets people interacting with you in a different way, right? Get collaborating. You cannot do this on your own. You can't be the success you want to be on your own, in a vacuum, on an island. You need people. You need them. You need the ambassadors, the sponsors, the mentors, the people who are going to elevate you and bolster you and support you. So you got to get out there collaborating, okay? You reach out. You find people that you would love to either, let's say you have a complementary talent or skill, and something that would marry up well with theirs, reach out to them, say you follow them, you admire their work, you would love to explore the possibilities. I mean, I would say maybe 10 to 20% of every day of mine is doing that. People are reaching out to me. I'm reaching out to them. Hey, Sally, I absolutely loved your blog post, and I see that you are, you know, on the board of this nonprofit for girls, supporting, you know, girls and the empowerment of women. I'd love to help. You know, it's all about that, collaborating. And finally, get envisioning. I really believe in planning. Smart plans, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely goals and plans. I really believe that. I remember I interviewed Tori Johnson, Good Morning America's, you know, career expert, and she said, well, I don't give a hoot about five-year plans. I'm doing everything I want right now. Well, everybody's different, but I do like five-year plans. Like, one of my plans is to have a TV show. And it keeps me going. It keeps me stretching. It keeps me realizing I don't want to just stay where I am. That, for me personally, that's boring, and that I need stimulation. And that five-year plan or that three-year plan gives me that, gives me something to sink my teeth into for the future. So get envisioning if that gives you some juice. All right, wrapping up here, I just want to share with you what I found are the four essential ingredients for amazing. They are clarity. You know what you're on this planet to do. You are clear about your talents and gifts and how you want to be of service. Confidence. You know, a lot of people say, I'm not confident. How do I get confident? You get confident through doing. You don't get confident sitting at your desk, Googling something. You get confident by taking bold, scary action and moving out of your comfort zone. You know, I'll never forget the scariest thing I ever did in my adult life. The first scariest thing was getting marriage and family therapy training, you know, training as a therapist, and the first time I ever had to do therapy in front of a two-way mirror with a whole team watching me, I thought I would die. I mean, I just was so scared. Actually, before that, you know, starting my master's at age 41, scared. They're going to laugh at me. I'm so old. Can I even do it? Oh, my gosh, I was so scared. But, you know, those two things, for instance, have built a lot of confidence. And the first time I ever had to do a TV, you know, a TV piece, racing to a satellite studio, oh, my gosh, I kept saying, why did I say yes to this? But you know what? Once you do these things, you feel completely different. You feel like if I can do that, I can do anything. Courage. That's the third thing. Courage comes from saying yes to really stretching out of your comfort zone. And connection, which we talked about. You need people in your corner. All right. In a lot of my talks, if you've listened to any other teleseminar or workshop, you know I have five steps for creating any kind of change you want in your life and work. And I'm just going to run through them quickly, but I've mentioned them before. The first is step back for an empowered perspective. Look at what gives your life meaning. Know what you love and hate to do. Move away from what you hate. Look at the natural talents you have. I've written a whole article about that. A lot of us have fantastic skills that we don't enjoy using. Well, that's not going to be happy work. Look at the natural talents you have. Like for me, you know, I was a journalist. I was an English major. I know how to write. I love to write. I always did. So using that is just a no-brainer, right? What are the natural talents that you have? What are your non-negotiables? What are the things you're absolutely never going to allow again? You've got to know what those are, right? And what are the exciting new challenges ahead of you? So again, take my free career path assessment if you really don't know the answers to those questions. There's a link to it right here. All right, the step two is let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that keep you stuck. You've got to look at the negative patterns that keep repeating and look at how you're 50% of those. Don't blame. Become accountable and take a step to shift them. I was wondering, where is my slide on the subconscious beliefs around money? Here it is. Let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that keep you stuck. I want you to check out one incredibly powerful book, two actually. Check out Tapping into Wealth by Margaret Lynch. She talks all about the subconscious beliefs around money that keep you stuck. I did this book in a weekend. Tapping is literally, it's called Emotional Freedom Technique. You literally tap on your face and on kind of a certain part of your chest bone. And these are acupressure points. And this is, it may sound woo-woo to you, but it works. It's a valid therapeutic intervention. But you can do it yourself. That's the cool thing. So check out Margaret Lynch's book, Tapping into Wealth. I was rocked by this book. It healed me. It took me about 10 years ahead of where I was in a weekend. She talks about financial trauma, debt, hidden agendas that you have that you don't even know you have, resistance to big goals, goal trauma. You know, what that is, as I understand it, is if you've had a huge goal and you went for it and you bombed, you just failed miserably. Well, there's often a voice inside you that says, what makes you think you can do this? You couldn't even do that. That's goal trauma. Striving but never arriving, feeling invisible, not being a good receiver. A lot of people struggle with receiving. Receiving money, receiving help, receiving praise, receiving critique. You have got to be a great receiver or you won't make the money you want to. And finally, a refusal to be rich, where money equals anger or conflict or guilt. Like, have you ever heard someone say, oh, filthy rich? Well, if you think the rich are filthy, you're never going to be wealthy. You're never going to have a lot of money. Or you're probably never going to earn the money you deserve if you think it's filthy. So check out that book. Check out The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks as well. The third step to making any kind of critical change is say yes to your compelling visions. You need a just right vision. What I want to share about that is a lot of people, for instance, will say to me, oh, you've written a book, Kathy. I want to write a book. I'm so excited. What advice do you have? And I'll say, fantastic. What are you writing? Are you writing anything? Dead silence. You can't write a book if you're not writing anything. So that vision is too far away from you. Break it down. Chunk it down. Okay, I want to be a writer. Where do I begin? You begin with a blog. You begin with one article, one post. You begin with getting some editing help. Chunk it down so that you can do it. You know, I have a vision to write a screenplay after the TV show. I know I cannot do that on my own. I am definitely going to get help. You know, there's a course I want to take. There's a workshop. You got to get help. You got to chunk it down, right? And there's, on this slide, there's an exercise I want you to do. Close your eyes for 5 minutes and envision in concrete detail what you dream of. Write it down. I mean, concretely, what you're wearing, what it smells like, who you're with, the location, what you're doing, right? Really use all your senses and envision in really concrete detail what you dream of. Then open your eyes and make a list of all the reasons why you can't have that, why you think, forget it, that'll never happen. And then make a list of all the reasons you think you can have this, why it's possible, the yeses, why this is possible for you. And then what I want you to do is ask the inner critic to step back. The inner critic's there to help you, doesn't want you to blow it, to embarrass yourself, to lose everything. Thank you, inner critic. I so appreciate it. I'm not going to do anything that is going to make you crazy. But now I need you to step back, and I need the visionary to come forth. So I'd love you to do that exercise and see what happens. The fourth step is to explore it. Try on your new direction. So you got to try this on, everything we just talked about. You got to reach out to people. You got to look at your programs and services. You got to see where you're reaching people. Where is the ideal client base, and are you reaching them, right? You've got to start marketing yourself differently. Try it on. You've got to do these things. You've got to take new action. And then finally, create it. As I said, I love smart planning, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound, meaning make your goals specific so you can go, all right, I did it, measurable so that you can measure it, achievable and realistic within your scope of what you believe is possible. They need to be achievable, right? And timely, time-bound. They have to be, you know, by next Wednesday, I will endorse 5 people. I will go on LinkedIn and you know, power up my LinkedIn profile. I will get on Twitter, and I will follow Kathy's Twitter, the people she follows, and see if there's anyone there that inspires me. I will contact that friend who I know does similar work but a little different. You know, I'm going to contact 20 people who are potential collaborators. By next blip, by next month, by, you know, make it time bound. And find someone to help you be accountable. We cannot do this alone. Find a coach, find a coaching buddy, find someone who you can meet with once a month who can hold you accountable. And don't forget to build a loving, supportive, I call it a tribe, people that love you, people that trust you, people that want to get the word out. Why is this so important to do? Because the world needs you. You know, I just launched a video. If you haven't seen it, you can see it at kathycaprino.com/time to shine. It's your time. It's your time to use your amazing talents and gifts and illuminate the world with it. All right. So, you know, what are the breakaways? The breakthrough takeaways here. What's your compelling vision for the next stage? How can you begin earning what you deserve? What are you committed to creating in your life and work starting today? And what do you need to let go of? You can't just add to your plate. You can't just add. You're going to have to revise. You've got to shift. Look at your money beliefs. Look at the history. Look at the messages you learned growing up about money, right? Look at your guilt and shame about asking for more money and your reluctance. And you've got to move through that, right? What concrete action can you take? Your breakthrough is here to earning more. It's your time, time to shine. And as we were talking about marketing and discounts, I am thrilled to offer you, because you've really contributed and participated to this program in such a wonderful way, I'm so happy to offer you a 20% discount to my Amazing Career Project video program. It's 16 weekly videos, 16 homework assignments. It's an online community, support community. It's fabulous handpicked resources. You know, one thing I know good resources. I know amazing people doing amazing things with amazing thought leadership. So there's a handpicked set of resources for further learning. There's discounts to other programs of mine. And if you're interested, there's a group coaching intensive that starts in January. That I only take 20 women for that. But you can check all that out at AmazingCareerProject.com. So your discount, if this looks appealing to you, is once you check out, you know, you go to AmazingCareerProject.com. When you go to register, you use the coupon code ACPCST20, and it's right there on the slides. All right, my friends, I am so grateful to you. Now, let me, and again, on the last page of these slides is resources that I've talked about. Now, what I want to do is go back to the phone and also let me check if anybody submitted any online questions. I want you to ask your questions. What are you wondering about? What are you concerned about? What holds you back? What holds you back from making more money? What's the block? What's the fear? What's the struggle? Now's your chance. Now's your chance to ask. Anything at all? Nothing at all. And you're being shy. All right. I'll give you one more minute. Nobody on the phone want to raise their hand? Okay. Let me think, what else can I leave you with in this amount of time here? Let me give you an exercise. The most important thing, I think, of everything I've shared here is knowing what you're amazing at. Most people can't address that. So do go take my career path self-assessment and make a list of what you think. And I want you to brag. And, you know, I've written about this. You can find it on my Forbes blog, How to Brag Without the Backlash. It's based on Peggy Klaus's fantastic book, Brag, How to Toot Your Own Horn Without Blowing It. Ooh, fabulous. You need to know how to brag, but not in a way that pushes people away. And, of course, it's tongue-in-cheek. We're not saying you need to brag. We're saying you need to speak about yourself glowingly, but in a way that gets people excited, gets people really energized to learn more. That's what you have to figure out. So I hope you will, if you're not sure what you're amazing at, you're not sure how you stand out, I hope you will take that career path assessment, think about what you're fantastic at, and really get clear on what your natural talents are and how you can illuminate the world with them. All right, my friends, thank you so much. Again, all of you should have received an invitation to the private group, the Career Success Training Program. I hope to see you there. I hope you found this entire series helpful and useful. Send me a note there on the Facebook page. As always, you can write to me at Kathy@KathyCaprino.com. Let's stay connected. I'd love to continue to help you on your path to shining. All right, my friends, see you soon, and thank you. Bye-bye now.